Welcome back, my faithfully led tribe. It is I, your faithfully led host, Sean Romero, coming back with another outstanding episode with another inspiring person to give you what you need, especially to see what God wants to do for you, through you, to achieve not only your legacy, but what it is that is truly in your heart. But before I bring my next guest on, guys, go ahead and hit the like and subscribe button, especially on iTunes. You know, leave a comment, leave a rating, because you just never know who needs to hear this message. And then with that algorithm, man, it really does help out the ministry, and I truly do appreciate that. So my next guest I have is she's an author, she's a speaker, she's just an outright, all-around, wonderful, wonderful Christian woman. Her name is Angela Marshall. She's a former NFL wife, but we're not even going to get into that because that's nothing in comparison to what she's already done. All right. She's just a wonderful person. She shares her trials and her triumphs about going from a supposed lavish lifestyle to overcoming to divorce and dealing with that, working in the corporate setting, and then eventually taking the leap to getting off the bench, as she calls it, getting off the bench and getting in the game of life. So without any further ado, I want to bring along Miss Angela Marshall. Welcome to the show. Thank you for coming on.
Hello, hello, faithfully led. Thank you for having me. It is truly an honor. Anytime I have the opportunity to share my woman of the world to woman of the word story, count me in. Thank you, Sean, for having me.
Oh, no, not a problem. My honor, my honor. It really is truly an honor and a blessing to have you here. So, you know, why don't we just go ahead and let us know a little bit about yourself and your journey and how you got to the point where you're at.
Absolutely. Again, thank you. I am humbled to be on your show. I wrote a book about 4 years ago, and it just chronicled from reality to rags to riches, all sections in my life that even to this day, I still have either troubles with and I have triumphs with. So I just kind of took that approach from the book as far as being able to share my stories from the stumbling blocks to the stepping stones, from the struggles to success to strength, with a positive outlook and hopes of being able to just impact and influence others that if I can do it, you can do it too. So from that standpoint, it, you know, it kind of took off and it did its own thing, because people always ask me, well, did you aspire to be a speaker? Actually, no, I did not. I'm a pretty good storyteller because I'm a writer, but I had no aspirations to speak, but it just was thrust upon me because of the supposed lifestyle when I was in the NFL. Because for some reason, you know, as you know, that's how the world is. We are always more, or we attempt to be more in tune with what we don't have or what we haven't been, you know, exposed to, as opposed to what we do have, and just being thankful, you know, for the blessings that are like right there in front of us. Everybody's life always seems so much more appealing, right? But from my standpoint, right, that absolutely definitely was not the case. And I just wanted people to understand that. I wanted them to know that, yes, the NFL lifestyle was an amazing experience and it was, you know, glitz and glamour, but it was also everything else, from troubles to woes to issues to problems, from marital problems to my problems with my children, problems with family members, you name it. We went through some of the same things. So I wrote that book and I just bared my soul. I mean, from the standpoint of me being little, from different things that I suffered through, that I went through, that I had no idea, Sean, that I was still carrying over in adulthood that was affecting me. So a lot of stuff, I call it the mirror effect. Like I really had to just reach down within myself. I had to take a really, really hard look at myself and say, there's some things you need to change, girl, or else, you know, you're gonna continue down this woe is me and this victim, you know, this victim journey. I got tired of myself and I decided to get off the bench and get in the game of life. And that's how I sit before you and your viewers right now.
That's amazing. You know, I like how you put it, you know, saying you got off the bench, you know, and got into the game of life. And, you know, so we all face like these turning points because, you know what, especially like now, you know, we're going through this pandemic and there's so many people, you know, freaking out and they don't know what choices to make. What was your turning point, you know, when you said, nope, I get me in the game, coach, get me in the game. I got to get in the game because I'm ready to roll, you know, I'm ready to do this. What was that turning point?
Well, actually, a couple of things. One that is the most pivotal was having a mother diagnosed with terminal illness that eventually, when she died from it, I took a hard look at my life and I saw a lot of things that I needed to do differently. And then it also showed me, it's funny how her death actually showed me how much I was not living. And I know that sounds really crazy, but it truly did. So from that, and then having younger children, because at the time our children were, you know, like 9 and 11. And then of course, you know, they got into their teens. And when you know, it's just something about when you know you have little eyes looking at you and paying attention to everything that you do and you say, you know, you figure I probably need to evolve a little more as a person if I'm going to set examples for them. So that, and then just my circle, you know, when you have a really, really good solid circle and people are, they are growing, they are, you know, they're succeeding, you want to do the exact same thing. So I wanted to be a good link. I didn't want to be the weakest link. So I had to step my game up.
You know, as a parent, and you know, I I'm recently a single parent, you know, for about 2 years now, you know, what was that like, you know, because you said, you know, you have these little eyes and it's the truth. These little eyes that look at you and they see things and then they all of a sudden they see the things that change. You know, you go from having all this stuff and then all of a sudden their life changes and, you know, and you see that change in their eyes. How did you respond to that? How, you know, especially as a parent, how did you respond to that? Did it like help motivate you, but also did it like give you a different perspective on just your own personal life?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you, Sean. A lot of the woes and things that we worry about as adults for children, the children are just children. Like, they didn't care whether we lived in a 5,000 square foot home or a 1,200 square foot home. Their happiness is just, they're just happy. You know, I think they really display my favorite verse in the world, the 23rd Psalms, you know, I shall not want, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. They don't want for anything. They're just happy go lucky. But from my eyes, yes, I was wondering more so like the people outside, what would they think? Oh, I failed at, you know, my marriage, or, oh, I'm failing as a mother, or, oh, I'm failing as a person. So when I was a woman in the world, those are the pressures that I really, you know, it just weighed me down. It bogged me down. But, you know, once you start transforming, you start renewing your mind and you start putting on more of the word and you start just growing spiritually and you really start connecting with your inner self, those things become very, very minimal. Like, you don't even worry about, you know, the color nails, if they match your shoes and your bag and your hair and all of that kind of stuff. So from that standpoint, my children, and I did not, and I know sometimes in a lifestyle like that, children can, you know, kind of take on a form of being very entitled. But thankfully, and I can honestly say that my children were not reared like that by myself nor my ex-husband. We were very, very, you know, they were very appreciative children, and we got compliments on them all the time as far as like how well behaved and how they just really, you know, they never lorded over or tried to lord over anyone and say, oh, my dad is a football player, you know, or my mom's such and such, we live here, we drive that. That just wasn't the case. So when I no longer lived in those places and drove, you know, those types of vehicles, my children were just like, I want to go play baseball, softball. I want to go play with Annie, Tammy, Timmy. I want a popsicle. They could care less, you know. So that's pretty much how that went. It was more so my own thoughts of just not feeling, you know, not feeling adequate enough. But they reminded me with their hugs and their love you know, just their eyes looking at me that I was worthy, regardless whether I had this much or I had that much or whatever. You know, the children, they were wonderful during that particular time.
You know, that's really true, because, you know, when I was going through my time, it's the same thing. I looked at my kids, especially my youngest, you know, it just always put a smile on your face, you know, seeing them laughing, seeing the joy. And that's really what it's all about, you know, and it's really, you know, making sure that they, you know, have those memories to grow up with. And when they look back, and no matter, as they get adults, they take those memories and then they become, you know, better people, and they can create their own legacy, you know? So, you know, when all this stuff happened and you really started pushing forward and you had, you know, a bunch of other people in your circle, you had to kind of change your circle, you know, especially after everything that happened. What were some of the things that you were looking for when you started to change your circle? Because I'm sure that, you know, obviously it was a lifestyle change. It was a complete, you know, utter, you know, 180. So you were probably looking for different things in other people. So what were some of the things that you were looking for in people?
Oh my gosh. And this is going to sound really crazy, Sean, because you're like, oh, you were in a lifestyle with all of these professional athletes and they're like the most confident in the world and this, that, and other. No, that's not the case. So what I was looking for, I'm telling you, you'd be surprised. What I was looking for was inner. Like, I wanted a circle of people who felt really, really good within themselves, because I did not. And believe it or not, most of the people around me did not either. They thought that things gave them value. They thought that letters behind their name gave them value. They thought that power, money, all of the things that do not matter, those are the things that gave them their value. And so I wanted the opposite. When I got out of that lifestyle, which again, that lifestyle was, I met some amazing folks, did some great things. My children and I, we were exposed to just, I mean, a world of great things that we still just, you know, it benefits us to this day as we walk and, you know, try to be the type of people that we need to be. So it was awesome. However, having what I have now and knowing what I know now, as far as being very sure within myself, you cannot put a price on that. And those are the type of people that I wanted to surround myself with. People that, you know, okay, well, we have stuff out, or we can acquire certain things. We can go here, we can go there. You know, if you drive this or you live here, you have this. Okay, fine. But what else do you have that truly matters and truly speaks to the type of person? You know, not just the lifestyle. I could care less about your lifestyle. What about your life? You know, what about your living and your loving and, you know, your leading? What about those things? You know, how do you put value on those things? So those are the things that I was looking for in the circle that I now have. And they are phenomenal. Let me just go ahead on and give them, you know, some recognition and some kudos right now.
Absolutely.
Because without them, I would not be sitting here in front of you.
You know, so when you talk about value, you know, it some people may not understand what that means. And because in our society, we've come to the point where everything is instantaneous. We need it now. And if it's gone within a minute or so, it's no longer valuable. You know, where 20, 30 years ago, value was, you know, looked at in a different way. It wasn't so much the tangible, it was the lasting effect, how long it lasted. That was what it was valued. You know, so when you talk to somebody about value, how do you convey that to them, especially from a spiritual sense? Because, you know, when people don't understand their own value, but not their value in terms of, you know, their own specific skills or the families they come from, their backgrounds or whatever, but the way God sees them and the way God values them, how do you go ahead and convey that to them, inspire them to say, hey, no matter what happened, you know, God values you in this way? So how do you do that?
Well, two ways. One, I remind them of greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And a lot of us forget that, because it's all inner. It's what's inside. So if you beef up all of the things that are in you, from your joy, your happiness, your confidence, your connection, your communication, I mean, everything within you, if you just really take time to hone in and create a certain amount of peace with each of those areas in your life and, you know, really focus on your inner, that right there alone gives you all the value in the world that you need. And I say that so, you know, with such confidence right now, because I'm telling you, I literally do not care anymore what people say. And that is the ultimate freedom, because I used to just fall to pieces, you know, worried about this and that and all this other kind of stuff and all of the pressures that come along. And let's just take NFL out of it. Just from being a woman, being a you know, a mother, there's all these rules unwritten and written, and these the infamous they that tries to make me feel inadequate. If my hair doesn't look like this, if I don't look like this, I don't wear this, I'm not this size, I'm not, you know, I have a man, I don't have a man, I don't have children, I have children. There's all of these things to just make people feel bad. But when you really settle within yourself, I mean, it's like the sky's the limit. And that's one of the things that God assures us. And like I said, my favorite verse, which is the 23rd Psalm, it sums up everything. It talks about how he restores us, how goodness and, you know, mercy follows us, how he prepares tables before us. So those are the things that I exhort people to really pay attention to. And that's where the value is. Nowhere in the Bible, you know, he talks about you ask and you receive, or he talks about, you know, different things. If you're blessed or you give and you receive, that's great. But I don't see anywhere in the Bible where it tells me that, Angela, you know, you have to be a size six in order for you to have value. You know, I don't see where it says, Angela, your house has to be in like one of the elite subdivisions down here in Augusta's Jones Creek. I got to live here in order for me to have value. I mean, you know, been there, done that. Sean, honestly, when I lived in those type houses, and again, it was all a mindset. I'm not saying it was the NFL. I'm not saying that, you know, it was my husband at the time, because we were younger and we had a lot of growing to do. But when I lived in, you know, $500,000 homes, I felt like zero. I felt nothing. I felt empty inside. So now, you know, you fast forward to me right now in the life that I'm actually living now, I feel like I am like Mark, what's his name? Mark Zuckerberg and all the grace with all the commas and zeros, even though I don't have those. But you can't tell it. You can't tell me that, you know, that I don't, because that's just how I feel on the inside. There's no price on me. I'm priceless, you know? So that's what I would say to them. You know, just do what you need to do. Do that inner work, because the inner work is where you create the value.
Yeah, I agree. You know, when people start coming out of this, you know, pandemic, and for many people all over the world, their lives have been turned upside down and they're having to rebuild themselves. And, you know, that was one of the things that I had to learn how to do when I got out of the military. So when, you know, you take that value, you tell them how to do that, but how do you help somebody see where they're at and adjust to their pivot point and adjust and adapt to the changing of society, to where they don't get angry and they don't get rely on their emotions, but they can see, you know, a clearer picture of what God wants for them, you know, and so that way they can help be more, you know, have more discernment and listen to what God has wants for them, you know, because they may be in such a critical point where they may not have a job where they used to have, you know, and they may have to be like, where do I go now? What do I do? You know, how do we get those people to understand that, you know, or to see this pivot point, but to see what God wants for them?
Well, I tell you, because we are flesh and human and we live in the world, it's difficult. It truly, truly is. So I don't try to make light of it when I am either counseling or advising people or to myself. You know, sometimes I have to pep myself up. I think it's really funny how people think just because you're an inspirational or motivational speaker, like you just pop up out of bed and every day everything's hunky-dory and I'm just, you know, skipping this yellow brick road. It doesn't happen like that. Like, I'm having to renew my mind often. And I mean, sometimes it's minute by minute, moment by moment, day by day, you know. But from that, I would just say, you have to learn how to do, first of all, two things. And this is going to sound really, really, you know, off the wall, but it truly is that simple. It's called reject and receive. So you reject anything that's negative, doubt, fear, hurt, bitterness, anger, anything that does not align with God's word for you or for yourself, things that you know you want to do, you want to achieve, or, you know, things that you need to do a little differently in your life. Those are things that you receive. Things that you don't, you know, from people telling you you're no good or, you know, like, if you don't do this, the virus is going to do this. Like, let me just say this, since you did touch on the coronavirus. And again, I'm not making light of anything, but I only listen to health experts and advisors. All that other stuff, I don't listen to the news 24/7 because it's depressing. I don't read all that. Absolutely. I don't put it into my spirit because, yeah, it will create some sort of fear for you. And fear will definitely change your mindset. It can affect your immune system. It can affect a lot of things, you know, because everything is about how you think and how you perceive, because this is the strongest muscle in the world. And what we have is your mind. So you have to be very, very careful about what you're receiving. And that's why I said it's called receive and reject. So a lot of times, even for myself, different things, when I get down, if, you know, I don't get the response from my publicist that, okay, yeah, someone wanted to interview you, or maybe, you know, I didn't get the gig for a speaker's, you know, event that I put in for. And yeah, for a minute, I may feel a little, I feel a little dejected. However, you know, after some time passes, I have to really, really pump myself back up and amp myself up and say, I reject that doubt. I reject that fear. And even though that door was not open, I've got to keep on walking in order to get to the next door, and then the next door, and the next door. And then I have to, you know, keep my ego in check to understand that not every door is for you, Angela, even though I would want it to be, you know. So it's a matter of rejecting and receiving. You want to receive the things that, you know, God has placed in his word for us. But it's so crazy how we just, you know, we want to throw all of those things to the side and we want to believe all of the propaganda and crazy stuff that the outer world is feeding us, when if we just go to the word and we really saturate our minds and penetrate our minds and heart as far as what it says about us, that right there would open up so many opportunities for us to at least see things a lot clearer. Now, with that being said, for someone who's lost a job, I get it. Because my calendar for April and May was filled and it went to zero. Okay. So I had to get creative. And sometimes that's what you have to do. Like, I had to then figure out, okay, I need to increase book sales. I need to increase, you know, visibility this way. I need to go back to the basics. And I believe sometimes that's good. That's a great thing. So, you know, we just have to get really creative, and by all means possible, make sure that the people that you're surrounding yourself with, they are being helpers. They are being links and not kinks. We have to be very, very careful. Yeah, we have to be very careful with that, because some people are kinks. You know, they're the miserable comforters. And those are the people that you want to reject, okay?
Right. I agree. So, you know, let's the last topic I want to talk about, what do you define as legacy? You know, because, I mean, listen, you're very successful and you've gone through a lot, and you know, people look at you and you're an inspiration, you know, and it has nothing to do with the NFL. It has to do with you, your character, you know. So what do you define as legacy?
Legacy is living vicariously through yourself. I cannot stress it enough, Sean. That's actually one of my platform topics and the most requested. Live vicariously through yourself. Oh my God, even as a youngster growing up, and then of course when I was in that lifestyle, I'm gonna live vicariously through you. I'm living vicariously through, you know, through others. Stop it. The legacy for you, for me, for whomever should always be live vicariously through yourself, whatever that looks like for you. And I'm not saying breaking laws and just, you know, feeling like you can go do whatever it is that you want to do. No, there's boundaries and there's, you know, there's limits for the living vicariously through yourself, but that just means whatever love, whatever joy, peace, happiness, success looks like for you. When I do a success event or a forum, and people, when they ask me what success looks like, I tell them the answer that I'm getting ready to give you is what it looks like for me. Your formula is probably going to be totally different. Now, what I can give you is I can give you certain tips, certain tools, do's and don'ts that I did to acquire my success, but your success should not mirror my success, and my success should not mirror yours, because that's not how God created us. He created us with our own purpose, our own potential, our own promises, you know? So those are the things that I feel like when I say legacy, I'm leaving a legacy. I'm leaving a legacy that I live vicariously through myself.
I love that. That is probably the most unique explanation of legacy I've ever heard. That is awesome. I love that. Live vicariously through yourself. Man, I'm going to use that. That's pretty cool.
You got
cool.
it.
I love it. I love it. Oh, man. Oh, yeah. Angela Marshall. Yes, that is it, man. Right there. Home run. Outstanding. You shacked that. That is awesome, man. That is so cool. Great job. Awesome.
Thank you. Thank
so as we wrap this up, what is the one thing you want people to take away from, you know, especially when they see you and they read your book and they know, learn more about you? What is one of, and of course, and there's never, and I stress this a lot, there's never any silver bullet. There's no such thing as a silver bullet. You know, I mean, David had a stone, but he had five stones in case that first one didn't happen, you know, but, there's no silver bullet to solve any situation, but what is the one thing you really want most people to take away from when they learn more about you, they read your books, or they come in contact with you?
I want people to see exactly what freedom from the world looks like. And that's why when I'm in front of people, when I speak to people, I share my transparent truth so that others will either know what to do or what not to do. And it doesn't matter to me. I give them the good, the bad, the ugly, the happy, the sad, the raw, because I am a real person. I'm not a robot. I'm not this person that, you know, is not subjected to hurt or to pain or to disappointment or to being discouraged. Or anger for that matter, and a little bit of road rage too from time to time. But I basically want people just to say, golly, there is a person who is 100% free. Because if you can't live free, that means you're in bondage, and that's miserable. Oh my God, I've been there, done that. Being in bondage to whether it's the way your friends think or certain organizations or your, it can even be your husband sometime or your wife or your children or just society as a whole. When you live in bondage, that is like, you know, you're captive.
Yeah.
So to walk very free and sure and confident, I'm not saying being arrogant or just not being egotistical and not thinking about, caring about what anybody says at any time, because of course, constructive criticism or critique is an amazing thing. It's helped me get to where I am today, and it's going to continue to help me because I still have a whole lot of growing to do. But I just want people, actually three words, I want them to say, sow, grow, and glow.
Yeah, I love it. Love it.
And that's me. So when they look at me, when they talk to me, when they look at my interviews, my books, when they invite me, when they, you know, hire me to do certain things, so grow and glow, because those are the things that I'm just aspiring to do as a woman of the word.
Outstanding. I love it. Oh, I love it. Angela, thank you so much. I really, truly appreciate you. But before you go, please let everybody know how they can get in touch with you, where they can, you know, reach out to you, and also where can they get the books? You got to get the knowledge.
Absolutely. Thank you again for having me, Faithfully Led. I hope that I have imparted just a little bit of something to help each of you sow, grow, and glow. Amen. I'm on every social media outlet platform there is. You can look up Angela Marshall or The Story and Life of an Ex-NFL Wife. Also, my personal website, which is www.inotherwordsbystone.com. My books are everywhere. You can download it. If you want an autographed copy, you go to my personal website. Send me a message. I got you signed, sealed, delivered to you.
Outstanding.
So thank you so much for having me. It was truly an honor. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. It was an honor and a privilege for us. It was incredible. Thank you so, so very much. You really did it. And Tribe, all going to be in the show notes for you guys to reach out to Angela. And please, by all means, absolutely do that. She's absolutely an inspiration. This has been an incredible experience. And just as always, guys, be blessed. But most importantly, be the blessing. All right, guys. Until next time, we'll talk to you soon. I'll tell you no matter.